Tonight's shiur is the last shiur of the Zman, of the summer Zman, sponsored by Ben Yael Englander, L'schus Refuah Shleimah for Zachariah Kalman, Ben Yael Margalit. I wanted to do a longer shiur tonight, or at least leave us time for a longer shiur tonight, because I thought it would be unfortunate if after whatever it's been, 3 weeks of learning about Tevilas Kelim, you would go to a Keli Mikvah and then not know what to do. So tonight's shiur, I just want to make sure we cover. Don't want it to be too dry either, so I want to have enough time to do a little bit of lumdus and a little bit of more exciting stuff, but I just want to make sure that we cover what to do and what the basic issues are once you know which kelim required tevila, so you know what you have to bring to the kelim mikvah, so now you're there, what you actually do. So the first issue is to prepare the kli in order to be ready for tevila. And the most critical issue is that of chatzitza. When you're talking about preparing the kli, chatzitza is the most critical issue. What is chatzitza? So chatzitza is any sort of interposition between the kli and the water that will not allow the water to touch all parts of the kli. How much of a chatzitza is a problem? So it's a major sugya in two places, in Shas, in Maseches Erev and Daf Dalid, and in Maseches Sukkah, Daf Vav. In Yuvam Sayin Ches, you have a little bit also, but primarily, Erev and Daf Dalid and Sukkah, Daf Vav, the same sugya appears. If you look in source number one, the Gemara makes this comment in both of those places in Shas, that Shiurin Chatzitzin U'mechitzin are Alach L'Moshe M'Sinai. That the dinim of chatzitza are all halach al Moshe Mishinai. So, in fact, the Gemara, what? Chatzitza is halach al Moshe Mishinai? Doraisa ninu. Dixiv, verachatz is called besar b'mayim. Pasuk says you have to wash all your flesh in the water, and we darshan from there, shalo yedavar chatzit vein besar l'mayim. That the basar, when a human being is going to the mikvah, their basar needs to touch the water. And that, therefore, means there can't be a chatzitza between the basar and the water. So, that's a din doraisa. So, b'mayim me mikvah. And Mar Darshan is the exact size of a mikvah. The size of a mikvah is one amma by one amma with a height of three amos, because we assume that's the size of a person. Right? In Hilchas Sukkah we say, what's the minimum shear of a sukkah? It's machlokes b'sham b'silal, whether it's vav al vav tfachim or zayin al zayin tfachim. And the assumption is, vav al vav tfachim is the exact size of a human being, assuming human beings are square. Then it's vav al vav tfachim, and then you add the extra tefach for the table, because we paskin against Beit Shammai that you need makom for Rosh HaVerubo Vishulchano, not good enough to just have room for Rosh HaVerubo. So we assume a human being is one Vav Tvachim is one Amma, so a human being is one Amma by one Amma, roughly, and the height of a human being is three Ammas. The height of a person is three Ammas. Tosos in a couple places in Shas asks that there are stiras, that in some places in Shas it implies that the height of a human being is three Ammas, or it says explicitly, in other places it seems that the height of a person is four amos. Like when it comes to Hezek Re'iyah at the beginning of Masechta Basra, when it talks about how it's a problem if you are able to see into your neighbor's yard when he's doing private things, he's bathing or whatever he might be, or doing laundry, whatever he might be doing in his yard, so he can force you to build a mechitza. How high? Dalet amos. Well, the human being is only, the average person is only three amos tall. What do you need a wall of four amos? So Tosus discusses in a few places, and some of the Rishonim suggest that no, a person is really four amos tall. Up until his shoulder, he's three amos tall. What do you do about, meaning without his head? When you don't count his head, he's three amos tall. The head adds close to another amma. Not exactly, but a little less, probably, but it adds a little bit more. So it brings it closer to four amos. Why then is the height of a mikvah three amos? So that's the svar that they say is water displacement. That, yeah, if you keep the water three amos high, then when you go in, the height of the water will go up. So even though you're taller than three amos, it will that way you'll be able to be tumbled properly. Okay, so that's a discussion exactly what the shear of a mikveh is. Fine. Vishiru chacham may mikvah arbaim sa, but the chacham came up with a much easier measurement, a much easier way to measure it. 40 sa. So says the Gemara. So now back to the kasha. We asked, how can you say that chatzitza is a halach l'moshe m'sinai? We see that it's a din d'oraisa from a pasuk. Halach l'moshe m'sinai is also d'oraisa, but it's not based on a pasuk. We see that chatzitza is based on a pasuk. Sansa's Gemara, ki yisr chilchasa l'sa'aro. That what do you need halach l'moshe m'sinai for to tell me about chatzitza on your hair? That even chatzitza in the hair is a problem, because the pasuk says, v'rachat is called b'saro b'mayim. So your skin, your flesh, that has has to touch the water. But how do I know that a chatzitz is a problem if it's on your hair? That's not your flesh. It never says anywhere your hair has to touch the water. So that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that the hair also needs to touch the water. That's why when a woman goes to the mikvah, there's something called a mikvah lady. What does the mikvah lady do aside from checking to make sure that there's no chatzitza on her before she goes into the mikvah? Is once she dips, the mikvah lady has to see that her hair isn't sticking out of the mikvah. Because if her hair is sticking out, that's a problem. The hair also needs to go b'mayim. The hair also needs to go into the water. It needs b'yas mayim, and it can't have a chatzitza. That's why Hasidish women, many Hasidish women, shave their heads to save the problem of the hair sticking out of the mikveh. They shave their heads on Lel Tevila. They don't shave their heads every day. If they don't go to the mikveh for 6 months or whatever, they're pregnant or whatever. So I don't think they shave their heads consistently. They just on the Lel Tevila. They'll shave their heads. But anyway, so the Gemara says, okay, so the hair is also a problem when it comes to chatzitza. Ukadrab Baravuna, like Rab Baravuna says, Dam Rab Baravuna nima achas kshur chotzetzes. If you have one strand of hair that's tied tightly, that's a chatzitza. Shalosh einun chotzetzes. You have three strands of hair that are tangled with each other. We assume the tangling isn't so tight when it's three strands of hair, so it's not a chatzitza. Shtayim en yodea, shtayim is a suffix. So, frek the Gemara, still no good. Saro nami daraisahu. Titanya v'rachatz kol besaro es hatafala besaro. V'zeo seya. That we already see from the pasuk that hair is included, because it says es. Es includes that which is tafala besaro. What's tafala besaro? The hair. So we already see hair is included. And it says Gemara, ki asai hilchsa l'rubo ulami uto. Ulamak bidul she'en makid. Uchidrabi ulu she'en makid. Uchidrabi Yitzchak. How much of an interposition is a chatzitza based on the pasuk? So the Gemara doesn't tell us, but the Gemara says whatever it is, whatever the exact number is, we don't know. The halacha l'moshe m'sinai defined for us how big a chatzitza has to be a problem. How much of a chatzitza is a problem. And here's the rule. This is the most important rule in Hilchos Chatzitza. That is, min ha-Torah, the Gemara says, dvar Torah, rubo u'makbid olav chotzetz. If it's the majority of whatever you're toveling, if it's a person that's being toveled, if the chatzitza covers a majority of their body and they don't want that chatzitza there, it's something that they're makvid that they wouldn't want there, that's a chatzitza mida oraisa. If it's over a majority of their body but they don't mind it there, it's not a chatzitza mida oraisa. If it's over a minority of their body and they don't want it there, it's not a chatzitza mida oraisa. Those two cases would be a chatzitza midrabanan. The Rabbanan then came and added in that if it's one or the other, it's either rov of the body or makbid, that would be a chatzitza midrabanan. Regardless of whether your chatzitza is a chatzitza d'oraisa or a chatzitza d'rabanan, the tevila does not work when there is one of those chatzitzos. We then add on top of that, there's a minhag. The minhag is, even if it's on a miut and it's eino makbid, we still try to remove it. The Rama quotes such a minhag, we still try to get rid of it. So if a woman has a little tiny speck of nail polish or something, it's on a miut of her fingernail, and she notices it before she goes to the mikvah, she should remove it. She should take off that nail polish. Now, what if she first noticed it after she went to the mikvah, and it's a miut, and it's eino makbid? So since that's only b'taras minhag, it won't ruin the tevila b'diavad. What will ruin the tefillah b'diavad? If it's a chatzitza, either midaraisa or midrabanan. But a chatzitza that's only minhag, that's not going to ruin the tefillah b'diavad. So that's the most critical rule. Yeah?
Let's say a little piece of hair doesn't go into the water at all. That'd be the same thing as a
chatzitza. Oh, okay, no. So it's not the same. I'm glad you asked that. There's a difference between not having bias mayim and chatzitza. Chatzitza is everything was submerged under the water, but the water didn't actually touch everything because there was something on the skin or something on the kli, if you're toveling a kli. When you don't even have bias mayim, even a kol shehu, it doesn't make a difference. Even a kol shehu, the whole tefillah is no good. If a kol shehu stays outside of the water, that's not even having bias mayim, that's for sure going to ruin the whole thing. That's for sure going to mess up the entire tefillah. That's much worse. Right, if you go into the mikveh and you leave a pinky out of the mikveh, it could be a tiny part of your pinky nail that you're not even, it ruins the whole tefillah. You need bias mayim for sure. Now, yeah?
Did they establish like what are things that people are generally makbid on and what are not in their
place? Oh, we'll get to that in a second. Let me just share with you, I just bought this sefer today, this Gvaldika sefer, B'Yitzchak Yikare, Rav Nevensal's chidushim on Shas, and I just saw, I wanted to look up, see what if he says anything about chatzitza and tvila. There is a very well-known machlokas rishonim between the Rambam and the Gaonim. Rambam actually quotes the Gaonim on this. When the Gemara says that we come with the word es in the pasuk, it's l'rabos es aseyar, that hair is also included in dinei chatzitza. So what does that mean, that hair is included in dinei chatzitza? Meaning, we said that for chatzitza to be a problem, it has to cover midoraisa, it has to cover rove of the body and be something that you're makbid on. Let's say you have a chatzitza on the entire hair, but on nothing else in the body. Or on rove of your hair, but on nothing else in the body. Is that a chatzitza or is that not a chatzitza? Is that called rove? So, this is a major discussion between the Rambam and the Gaonim. The Rambam, Hilchos Mikvaos, Perek Beis, Halacha Tezvav, quotes from the Gaonim that a chatzitza on rove of the hair alone passes the tvila. Meaning, when the Gemara comes to include chatzitza on hair, it means to say, just like there's a problem of chatzitza on rove of the body, hair is its own entity, which also has problems of chatzitza, and it's going to be judged based on its own, on itself. And therefore, if there's chatzitza on rove of the hair, that alone is going to be a problem. Even though it's obviously not rove of the body, if it's just on rove of the hair and nowhere else, right? Your body's much larger than your hair, no matter how big your hair is. Still, the hair itself is judged separately. That's the sheet of the Gaonim. However, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, no. V'racha tes besoro b'mayim, es comes l'rabel ses aseir. L'rabel ses aseir means to make the hair part of the body. That's what the pasuk is telling me. The S is coming to say that the hair is now considered a part of the body. It's not considered just something that's external to the body. And therefore, when you're measuring the rove, if I have rove of my flesh covered, but when I include the hair in the cheshbon, I now have less than rove covered, so I'm good. It's not rove anymore. Because the hair goes into the big cheshbon. And if I have rove of the hair covered with something, but none of my flesh covered, so then it's only a miut. Because the hair is just part of the body. That's how the Rambam understands. Machlokas Gaonim and the Rambam. So Reb Nevenzahl has the following very sharp chiddush. He says that it turns out, Lulei Demistafina, he says, Amina would suggest that this is the famous machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Nechemya Hamsuni. This machlokas, Rambam and the Gaonim, matches up beautifully with the machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Nechemya Hamsuni, or Shimon Hamsuni, depending which Gemara you follow. Now, what's the machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Shimon Hamsuni? Anyone know what I'm talking about? It's a famous machlokas. The Gemara says that Shimon Hamsuni, V'armila Nechemya Hamsuni, was Doresh Kol Es in Sheba Torah. Every time it said the word Es in the Torah, he was Doresh something new from the word Es. Ad Sheigia Le'es Hashem Elokecha Tira, Miyad Poresh. He got to Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, where it says you should fear God, but it has the word Es, and he said, what am I going to darshan from that? After equate something with Yerushamayim, you can't equate anything with Yerushamayim. So he said, that's it. Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, what are you doing? You spent your whole life's work. This was your PhD thesis, to figure out an S on every S in the Torah, figure out a drasha. He said, Kishem Shekibalti Schar Al Adrisha, Kach Kibalti Schar Al Aprisha. I got schar for trying to figure it out. Now I'm going to get schar for walking away from it. And the integrity to be able to walk away from it is something phenomenal. Ad Shebar Rabbi Akiva, till Rabbi Akiva came along and said, no, who says that you can't darshan Es Hashem Elokech Hatira? Es Hashem Elokech Hatira l'rabos Talmidei Chachamim. Comes to include Talmidei Chachamim. So says Rav Nevenzahl, what's the machlokas between Shimon HaMsuni / Nechemya HaMsuni and Rabbi Akiva? What are they arguing about? So, you know, the famous vart that they say, Rabbi Aaron Pam told me this vart from B'Shem Rav Gifter, that they say, Al Darach Musar, is that Shimon HaMsuni said he couldn't imagine a sense of Yira, of Yiras Haromimus, of a human being. He couldn't imagine having such a sense of Yiras Haromimus for a human being. Until Rabbi Akiva saw what Shimon HaMsuni did, that after his whole life's work, he was willing to walk away from it, and he had such integrity, so Rabbi Akiva saw an example of it. So that's what Rabbi Akiva learned, and he chapped, oh, I'm awed by that. He said, oh, so you see, you can have such a yiras haromimus of a human being. That's the musarvart they say, that you know, that having that role model was what motivated Rabbi Kiva. But says Rav Nevenzahl, no, it's a methodology vart. When you darshan a riboy from S, what are you darshaning? Is the riboy something that now becomes part of the original thing? Or is it its own separate entity? Shimon HaMsuni, V'armila Nechemya HaMsuni says, what am I supposed to do? Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, I'm going to include something else and make it part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's kfira. You can't do that. I can't include something else to put it in the same category together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't do that. That's Miyad Poresh, Rabbi Akiva held. No, that's not what S does. S comes and puts it in. It makes it includes it in the halacha, but separately. Not that it's part of the same, it's a separate unit. So Talmid HaChacham can be included. So says Rav Nevensal, that's what they're arguing about with the S, L'Rabbo Sasaseir. It's like every bit of Torah that he says is so delicious. It's like, I mean, okay, it's not the most mukhrach, you know. Okay, so he said that's what they're arguing about. S, L'Rabbo Sasaseir, if you hold like Nechemi Am Suni, Shimon Am Suni, it means that it's now just part of the guf. That's the Shitas HaRambam. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that would be the Shitas HaGaonim, that no, it's separate, it's a separate entity. But he points out that the Rambam can't say this vart, because the Rambam can't paskin like Shimon HaMsuni and Nechemi HaMsuni, because we don't paskin like that. We paskin halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavero. So if the Rambam would hold this vart, he'd be on the wrong side of the halacha. So he said it's possible the Gaonim held this vart, and they held that that's what the machlokas was between Shimon HaMsuni and Rabbi Akiva, and that's why the Gaonim said that the way we darshan the Seyar is as a separate entity. But he says it's impossible that the Rambam darshan this vart. Okay, but and he suggests that that's the same thing you could say by the mitzvah Lizkor Yetzias Mitzrayim Belelos. We learn it from a riboy to include, right, Kol Rabos Esalelos. We learn it from a riboy. So Does that mean to say that the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim b'yom u'b'layla is really the same mitzvah? Or are they two independent units? There's a mitzvah b'yom and a separate mitzvah b'layla. And nafgamina is it a mitzvah seishazman grama? If it's one big mitzvah that applies b'yom u'b'layla, so it's not a mitzvah seishazman grama. If it's one mitzvah b'yom and a separate entity b'layla, then it's mitzvah seishazman grama. Okay, that's I just want to make sure we use the sefer on the first day, but that's Rav Nevin Salzvart. Mm-hmm. So let's get back to chatzitz over here. So midaraisa rov and makbid is a problem. Now my brother in his outstanding first sefer, Mayim Rabim, which is a sefer that he wrote on Maseches Mikvaos. If you ever learn Mishnayos Mikvaos, call me, I'll get you a copy. In the back of the sefer, he has some ha'aros on Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Mikvaos and Hilchos Tevila. So after going through all the Mishnayos and those discussions, so he raised the following issue: what would we have done without the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai? Meaning, what would we have assumed had the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai not been there? Would we have assumed that meaning the Torah itself teaches us chatzitza according to the Gemara, that chatzitza is a problem? And the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai teaches me how much. So without the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, what would the assumption have been? Would the assumption have been more or less is a chatzitza? Right? So he raises this issue. Where is it? This is on page Reishon Gimel Reishon Dalin. He says Ve'enu Bar. If you look in it is in the back on page Reishon Gimel in the back of your packets, in the left hand column on the second to last page of your packets, he says in the left hand column the paragraph beginning with Hamakar, so about five lines in Ve'enu Bar Lule Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai Iav Yamrin Daf Chatzitza B'Miyuto Avi Chatzitza Vas Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai LaHakel D'Dafka Berubo. Would it have been that without the Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, I would have said anything's a Chatzitza, the tiniest little bit will be a Chatzitza? Comes along the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai and says, nah, we give you up until Rov. The Torah lets you have up until Rov. You can even have up until Rov, it's not going to be. Oh, Ihavi Amrin Dabin Chatzitza B'Kol Gufo V'Saro V'Kol Shemiyut B'Sara Panoi Midavar Achotzeitz Lo Mikri Chatzitza. Or maybe the Torah would have said, as long as everything's not covered, it's not a Chatzitza. Maybe based on the Din Torah without the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, I would have thought that if your entire body is covered, that's a Chatzitza. Comes along the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai and tells you, no, even if Rov of your body is covered, that's already a Chatzitza. Vasa Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai la-hachmir da'af berubo havi Chatzitza. So this is the question. Now this, he says, is a subject of a Machlokas Rishonim. I don't know why he doesn't quote the well-known Rush in Maseches Bava Kamma. The Rush in Maseches Bava Kamma tells us, there must be a reason that he doesn't quote it. Maybe I'm not remembering the Rush correctly, but the Rush, if I'm not mistaken, Maseches Bava Kamma says that a Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai always comes to be Mekel. It never comes to be a machmir. So I don't know why, that would answer the question right there. If Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai by its nature, by definition, always comes to be mekel, so then you would have to say that midah raisa, even a tiny bit is a chatzitza, and the not midah raisa, min haTorah, from the psukim in the Torah, you would say even a tiny bit is a chatzitza, comes along Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai and says that no, you are up until Rov, we give you a pass. Right, it's not going to be called a chatzitza. That Rush, for instance, Rashi in I think Maseches Sukkah, where it says Shiurim is halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, right? So I think Rashi says Shiurim shal mitzvos. I think Rashi says. Rashi has such a line that the shiur of achilas kezayis, let's say, of a mitzvah, is halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. So I forgot who. I think the Aruch Lener. One of the achronim suggests, why does Rashi say shiurim shal mitzvos? Why doesn't he say shiurim shal isurim? If yid kezayis of nevel yichayim. So that's also shir. Why does it dafka? Rashi points out kazayis of matzah, right? So what's he? I'm sorry. No, Rashi says the other way. Rashi says shirim shall isurim. I think Rashi says shirim shall lavin shall isurim. And the kash is why he doesn't say the other way. Why doesn't he say shall mitzvos? So I think it's the Aruch Lener says that. Think about it. Had you not had the shir, the idea of the shir kazayis, what would we have thought when the Torah says don't eat something or do eat something? How much do you have to eat? All of it in the whole world? How much do you have to eat?
Kolshu.
Tiny little bit, and that would be enough, right? So is having a shir a chumrah or a kula? So if eating a kolshu who have nevela would have been an iser, and then the Torah says, no, it's only asur min haTorah if you eat a kezayis, so that's a tremendous kula. If the mitzvah would have been fulfilled of achilas matzah by a kolshu, and then the Torah, the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim comes along and tells me, no, you need to eat a kezayis, that's a tremendous chumrah. So what's Rashi telling us? I think the Aruch Lener says this. I could have the wrong Akron. One of the Akronim says this. What's Rashi telling us? That really be'etzem, the shir that defines achila goes on isurim. Because halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim always has to be a kula be'etzem. Now it happens to be, once we define achila l'gabe isurim as a kazayis, it doesn't make sense to not define achila l'gabe mitzvos as a kazayis also. But Rashi wants to dafka highlight that it's that the ikar halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim is by isurim. He has to highlight that because otherwise the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim would come to be machmir, and we want halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. The rule is according to the Rashi, halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim comes to be mekel, right? That's the Gemara in Sukkah that if we see from the Pesukim Pasukos, that it's you need dalad gimel defanos dalad defanos v'asayi hilchsa v'gari l'ravi l'tefach, something like that. That halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim says, you don't, the last wall doesn't need to be a full wall according to the Shita that you need 3+, right? That the last wall doesn't need to be a full wall l'kula, right? That it's all l'kula. That's what halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim does. But In regard to Tevila, so my brother doesn't mention that whole discussion, but in regard to Tevila, it happens to be Machlokas Rishonim. It says Tosus Rishonim and Erevin that's printed on the page next to Tosvos, writes that Ilav Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim Havra Aminan D'Dafka Kulo HaVichatzitza. Without Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, we would have thought that only if it covers the entire body, it's a chatzitza. The halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim says you have to be machmir even when it's rubo makbid. That's also a chatzitza, not only when it covers the entire body. Meiri also assumes like that. However, Rashi seems to assume otherwise. Rashi, both in Sukkah and in Erevin, says that hadid var Torah rubo makbid olav chotzeitz the kamayri b'seyar. Rashi, who holds like the Shita Sagaonim, that the idea of rubo makbid is on the hair alone, right? Rashi says that dikwa tells the mashma da asala afuke shara guf de leke hilchsa al kein afilu miuto sheino makbid nami avichatzitza. The way Tosus understands Rashi is that Rashi says this whole idea of rubo makbid is only by hair. The rest of your body, the whole din of rubo makbid doesn't apply. Whoa, so then what's the halacha by the rest of the body? That's a great test case for what would we hold if we didn't have halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Rashi holds, we don't have halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim in the rest of the body, only on the hair. So you want to know what we would hold if we didn't have halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim? Look what Rashi says about the rest of the body. And Tosus understands that Rashi would hold even a kolshu would be a chatzitza on the rest of the body. So you see that Shitas Rashi is that lulei the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, we would have held the chatzitzas even a davar muat. Halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim comes to be mekil and comes to tell me that no, you have up until Rov, it's still not going to be a chatzitza. Okay, but that's all academic. That's the din midaraisa. Rov and makbid is a chatzitza. Midrabanan, Rov or makbid is a chatzitza, right? Midrabanan, one or the other is a chatzitza. Another interesting discussion my brother has in a sefer. Once you assume that rov or makbid is a chatzitza, so let's say I have something that covers the rov of my body, but I'm not, really not makbid, I don't mind it being there. I can't think of anything that would fit this category. I don't know, maybe like some sort of lotion or something. I don't know, suntan lotion or something that helps my skin. I don't know, they'll probably be buttle to the skin. I don't know, I guess in like these spas and everything, like they take mud baths, but that would still be called makbid, because there are times in your life where you don't want to be sitting in the mud bath. It has to be something we're going to soon see, that makbid means that you're never makbid on it. So, I'm not sure. But let's say you had such a hechitimsa, that it covers rove of your body and you don't mind it there. You're happy to have it there. So what's the din? It's a chatzitza midrabbanan. Right? So some of the Achronim wanted to suggest, but once the Rabbanan make that din, that it's a chatzitza midrabbanan, it now becomes a chatzitza midaraisa. Why? Because why was it only drabbanan? You weren't makbid. But once you're told that if you have a chatzitza on rov of your body, it's going to be a chatzitza, so now you're going to start being makbid. Mela, it's going to become ruba umakbid. And it's going to be a chatzitza midaraisa. That's what some of the Achronim wanted to suggest. Very creative. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said it's the most ridiculous thing he's ever heard. And he said, why is it the most ridiculous? He has a long tshuva about all these kinds of cases. And he gives the other example that we always quote. Psik reshe delo nichalei on Shabbos. The light in my refrigerator is on. Generally, it's good to have a light in your refrigerator. You open up the fridge, it's nighttime, you're able to see everything nice and bright, you find everything very easily. It's good to have there's a reason they make it. It's good to have a light in the refrigerator, right? But I don't want to be Mechal Shabbos. So does that make it Lo Nichalei? Now it's a Pesuk Reishit to Lo Nichalei, because I don't want the light to go on. It's Shabbos. I'll feel so bad that I'll be Mechal Shabbos. So doesn't that make it Lo Nichalei? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, of course not. That's absurd. The way we define Nichalei and Lo Nichalei is what would be Nichalei if it weren't for the fact that it's Shabbos. If there was no Torah, if you weren't a Jew, would it be Nichalei, would it be Lo Nichalei? And he says that's the same thing with Makbid. The way we define Makbid is, would you be Makbid, forgetting Halacha, would you be Makbid or would you not be Makbid? So the fact that the halacha inspires you to be Makbid, that doesn't make it a Rubo Makbid. Yeah. Chazaka, remind me of the case in Bava Basra.
There may be a suggestion what having of three.
Oh, right. Right. The plus trying to, right.
There's nothing throughout the shiurim. So why would that? I guess we're going to determine. See, it's a pada.
Right, meaning the reason the Gemara gives a specific time for Chazaka and doesn't leave it to Akpada, because we're going to see it's not actually Nasatit Varech L'Shiurim. It's very similar to Bava Basra, actually, because we're going to see how we define Akpada. You'll see. It'll become clear in a moment. Okay, so the other question that needs to be dealt with, just again in approaching the sugya, is why isn't one or the other, either rov or makbid, a problem mida oraisa? I mean, forgetting the first step, which is what we would have thought without the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Okay, now we have the halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and the halacha l'moshe m'sinai tells me you need both rov and makbid in order to have a problem, right? One or the other is not a problem. Why? Why is one or the other not a problem? So you say, what do you mean, why? It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. But is there any svara as to how we could have possibly said that rov of the kli is covered and it's called that the kli didn't have a chatzitza? Is there a svara to say that way? That rov of the kli is covered and it's not a chatzitza? So many achronim say that the svara is that it's batel to the kli. That anything that adheres to the kli is batel to the kli, so it's considered part of the kli. Rav Moshe says that's great if it's on rov. If you're what you're discussing is rov she'eno makbid, since you're not makbid on it being there, it becomes batel. It's like by sukkah, a sukkah lamal me'asu ma'ama, right? So one of the ways to decrease the height of the sukkah is you put a lot of hay on the floor and you make the floor higher and you mevatel it. You mevatel it there. So once you mevatel it there, so now that's the floor of the sukkah. The floor of the sukkah is on top of it. But if you're not mevatel it there, so then it's sitting in your sukkah. It's not the floor of the sukkah is underneath it. So says Rav Moshe, if you're describing rubo she'eno makbid, I understand, it's batel. But if you're describing miut ha-makbid, batel. It's not batel. Miut ha-makbid, if you're makbid on it being there, you can't call that batel. Right, that's the kasha of Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe prefers to say that without the halacha of chatzitza, we would have said even rubo umakbit is okay. We would have thought even Ruba Umakbid is okay, and the Gzeres HaKasuv tells us otherwise, meaning that that the pasuk comes to be memayed it to saying that only Ruba Umakbid is even Ruba Umakbid is a problem. One might have even thought without that, without the pasuk, that Ruba Umakbid is okay. So the Gzeres HaKasuv tells us otherwise. So then you can't start getting into the kashas of why is it taka okay, because without the pasuk everything would have been okay. So the pasuk is coming to make it a little less. Fine. How do we pask it? So again, Rama in Simkov Tzadiches by halacha of tevila of a woman says that even a miut she'eno makbid, in the name of this v'heter, even a miut she'eno makbid should be removed. L'chachila, miut she'eno makbid is not going to be a chatzitza b'di'aved, but it should be removed l'chachila. Either rov or makbid is going to be chatzitza midrabanan and will ruin your tevila. Ruba u'makbid is a chatzitza d'oraisa and will obviously ruin your tevila. The Rama says it l'gabe a tevila of a woman, but the Isser v'heter says the same is true l'gabe a tevila of a kli. So if you have a kli that has a sticker on it, this happens all the time. People bring the kelim to the kelim mikveh, they tovel everything. And then you come home, you feel like such a mitzvah boy, you toveled all the kelim for your mother, and you say, look what I did, I toveled all the kelim, and she looks at the glasses on the bottom of each glass, there's a black sticker or something like that, or even a clear sticker, so that's why you missed it, on the bottom of each glass. So what's that? It's a miut for sure, but your mother's definitely mocked, but she wouldn't want the drinking glasses that she puts out on the table to have stickers on them. Right, so it's a miut amakbid. So that would ruin the tefillah. You'd have to go back and do the tefillah again. Now sometimes it's not makbid. Sometimes you remove the sticker and you just can't get all the little glue off. You tried with the nail polish remover and this and that, whatever they have in the keli mikvah, you couldn't get every little thing off. But it's so little that like you wouldn't even notice it if you weren't looking for it. So if you wouldn't even notice it without looking for it, then certainly it's not makbid. So it's a miut she'eino makbid. Then it won't ruin the tefillah. Right? It's not going to ruin the tevila. Now, this is true by a tevila of a woman also, right? The most common chatzitza shayla that a rabbi gets is a woman comes home from the mikveh and says, I just noticed after the mikveh, and often after tashmish with the husband already, and I just noticed there's a speck of nail polish on one of my fingers, that I didn't get it totally. There's a speck of nail polish. And rabbis are trained, as soon as we hear the word speck, we say, okay, it's fine. Because speck means a tiny dot that, you know, if you need a magnifying glass to be able to see, it's clearly a miut she'eino makbid. And the chatzitza says, I told you the Rav Mordechai Eliyahu story. You ever tell you that story with the apple? No. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, a guy was being mishamish Rav Mordechai Eliyahu once, and he was learning Hilchas Nida by Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, and he got it, Zichron Levracha, and he got a phone call, and he was answering the phones for Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, and it was a woman with a chatzitza shayla. And he thought it was serious shayla, so he says, Rak Rega, I need to ask the Rav. So he says to Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, a woman calling, chatzitza shayla, and he says the shayla. And Rav Eliyahu says, isn't Mrs. Whatever, you know, pick Sephardic name out of a hat? And he says, yeah, how did you know? That's exactly who it is. He says, tell her it was the apple. Well, what's that about? So, okay, it's the apple. So she says, oh, tada, tada, thank you so much, and she hangs up the phone. And he says to Mordechai Eliyahu, what just happened? And what halacha is that? He says, this woman, she's so OCD, like every time she comes back from the mikveh, she finds a different problem. So I made a takana for her, that every time she goes to the mikveh, as soon as she gets out of the mikveh and gets dressed, she has to eat an apple. And therefore, any chatzitza problem that comes up, I tell her, no, it was the apple that happened after the mikveh. So no matter what happens, it's always, you can always be told in the apple. And that way, she's always, she solved all the chatzitza problems. Yeah.
With that glass case, with the stickiness on the bottom. I thought we said
lechatchila,
it doesn't work.
You shouldn't do it lechatchila, but right. If you just notice, but if you did the tevila works. The tevila definitely is mo'ed. Meaning, lechatchila you're not supposed to. It's not like in mevatlin so lechatchila, where it might be that even if you are mevatlin, then it doesn't become batel. You know, if you're not supposed to, but if you do it, and it's only mitoras minag. So if you have no other, if less breira, so probably they weren't b'chei agavna lo nagu, right? They weren't knowing to observe it in that way. No, just the ones that are chatzitza. Each kli is an independent entity, it's an independent unit. Yeah.
According to Rav Moshe, it's not batala, which is like the concept of hakpada. Then why do we even care about hakpada at all? I mean, why does that determine what's chatzitza and what's not. Like, it's just,
well, that's what the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim came to teach us. That's the determinant. That those two factors determine chatzitza. It's hard to know. Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. It's hard. I mean, the svara of hakpad is not really that difficult a svara. Meaning that if it's something that you're not makbid on, so then are you saying without
right.
bittel it is
without
a hard
bittel.
Svara? Yeah, without bittel it is a hard svara. I'm not sure. Okay. Beis Yosef quotes from the Agos Ashri that you should remove all rust from knives. If you have a knife that you got from a guy and it has rust, so you should try to scrape off all the rust. And if you didn't, let's say there's a little bit of rust on the knife and you didn't remove it, so what's the halacha now that you know all about chatzitza? What are you taina? What is it?
Mir
amakbid, right? So it's a problem. So that's what the Beis Yosef puts from Agos Ashri. It's a mir amakbid if you did not remove the rust from the knives. However, Beis Yosef quotes a kolbo that if you tried and it couldn't get off, then it's a mir she'eino makbid, and therefore it's okay. What's the problem? The rust is the same rust it was before. You know, if you didn't try and you tovel it, so then it's a mir amakbid. If you tried but nothing happened and then you tovel it, you didn't get anything off and then you tovel it, all of a sudden it magically turns into a mir she'eino makbid. Ah, good. So it has to be that once you try, it becomes clear to you that this is never going to come off. Once you know it's never going to come off, you say, okay, I'm not going to throw the whole kli out, I'll still use it, so then you're no longer makbid on it. Once you come to grips with that reality. But before you've clarified that mitzius, you don't want it there. You look at the kli, you see rust, and you don't want it there. And that's the assumed psychology of human beings. Okay. If it's impossible, yeah, l'chara would. L'chara would. Now, if you look in source number 4 of the Shulchan Aruch, so he says this, he quotes this halacha. Sarach lahavir achaluda kodem tevila, v'lo hevir im makbid alav chotzeitz. And if you didn't remove it and you're makbid, then it's chotzeitz. But, v'im shivshev v'nasen v'gecholim v'nishra adayim ma'at shal chaluda shalo yochul avar al yidei kach havim yuto sheina makbid alav. But if you tried your best, then it's a mi'cheva makbid ve'no chotzitz, and it's not going to be a chatzitza problem, then it's going to be okay. Now, it's interesting, there is a medrash that I think the Sefer Tefillas Kalim quotes, there's a medrash that derives from a pasuk that rust is considered a chatzitza, which is strange. Why would you need a pasuk to tell me that rust is considered a chatzitza? Definition of chatzitza is something that I'm makbid on. And if it covers rubo, so that's chatzitza midoraisa. So why would you need a pasuk to tell me that rust is called a chatzitza? So it's likely that what the medrash means to tell me is that you might have distinguished between two different types of chatzitzas. You might have said that anything that's external to the kli, that doesn't come minayu bay, it comes from the outside, that would be a real chatzitza. But something that comes from the kli itself becomes rusty, one might have said that that does not become a real chatzitza. That does not constitute a real chatzitza. So that's why the Medrash wants to derive from a pasuk as a drasha, to learn from a pasuk that even rust is a real chatzitza. Good. How do you define makbid? Obviously, very nogei lemaisa. What's the definition of makbid? Who's makbid? Let's say you have someone who's a painter. So painters have paint all over their hands all the time, and they don't care. It doesn't bother them. If you have paint on your hands, you stand by the sink and you scrub till it comes off. You won't leave the house with paint on your hands. I mean, depending where you're going, but most of the time. You won't go to a chasana with paint on your hands. So, probably a painter wouldn't go to a chasana with paint on their hands, but you get the idea. So what is that? Is that makbid? Is that ain't a makbid? Right? How do you define makbid? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch in source number 2, this is the Shulchan Aruch by Hilchos Nida. You have to remove everything. If normal people are sometimes makbid on that item not being there, then it's going to be a chatzitza. Even if this woman right now doesn't care, she's not makbid on it right now, still, even though she's not makbid, it's still going to be a chatzitza, because some people are sometimes makbid on this. Oh, afilu ena makbid is lovely olam. Even if this woman is never makbid on it, but normal people sometimes are, most people sometimes are. Now, it doesn't have to be if just one person besof ha'olam sometimes. It means if either she's makbid on it, or people in general are makbid on it, one or the other, that's going to be a chatzitza. That's going to be problematic. Vim huchofer rov aguf, afilu ein derech menel l'makbid, okay, fine. And it's on rov, even if you're not normally makbid. So that's an unbelievable chumrah. Let's say you have a woman who never, ever removes her rings from her fingers. So should the rings be a chatzitza? She never, ever removes them. She likes them. So should they be a chatzitza? So one would say, well, she's not makbid, obviously. She doesn't mind. Very nogeh l'maisa. But there are a lot of women that don't like to sleep with their rings on, don't like to shower with their rings on, don't like to swim with their rings on, don't like to knead dough with their rings on, cook, whatever. So it doesn't matter what she, if most derech ha'olam is that many women are makbid lefa'amim, are sometimes makbid, then it's a chatzitza. I had a serious shaila just a couple of weeks ago. A woman calls me up, it's summertime, heat wave, and women, their fingers, probably men also, we just don't wear rings and don't know it, but their fingers swell up. So a woman had rings on her fingers and she couldn't budge them. She couldn't even get it up to the knuckle. She couldn't budge it at all. So what's she supposed to do? She had to go to the mikveh. I was out of eitzes. Soak it in ice water. I don't know, hold it up like this for 10 hours. I had no idea. I mean, I said, try everything. Try, you know, WD-40. I don't know. whatever you could try. Just, you know, do anything to... I thought, though, the one eitz I did have is that if she can't get it off, but she can slide it a little bit up and down, up until the knuckles. So if she does that underwater, the water will get to all the different parts and probably it won't be so much of a chibor that it won't allow the water to at least connect to each other. So I told her if she could do that, that would be good enough. Otherwise, go to a jeweler and have him cut your ring off. But you know, obviously that's, you know, not so preferred for, you know, from her perspective. I have no idea what happened. I saw her in shul the next Shabbos. She had no rings on her fingers, so I have no idea what you know. I didn't follow up to see what happened. Something worked. Okay. So that's very important, obviously. So if let's say I'm a slob, so I don't care that my kelim have things all over them. It doesn't make a difference that I don't care. If some people care, normal people care, then it's a problem. Yeah.
Is it actually a rogue? Like rogue women are motivated about?
Sometimes. When they need dough, they take off. That's the example the post can give.
Okay. And that's for sure. Like that's
enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By tefillin, we say that you're not allowed to have any chutzis between, you know, like the straps and the arm, mm-hmm. Then people are allowed to, you know, like, you know, wear their watches.
By tefillin, the Meikra Adin, really the only part that you're not allowed to have a chatzitz is really on the top part. Once you're down past the elbow, then it's just a chumrah. That's not Meikra Adin at all. I remember there was, when I was in YU, I was talking to Rav Schechter about this once, and he said that a guy was remarried a second time, and his wife had a child from a previous marriage, and the child, when he puts on tefillin, keeps his watch on. And it drove the guy crazy. He couldn't stand it. And he said to Rav Schechter, tell him that it's Aser and that it's whatever. Rav Schechter's like, it's not Aser, it's really okay. I mean, I don't recommend it, but like, it's not, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's not really, you know... Again, you should remove your watch, but that's a mikra din, that's not a chatzitza. Rav Avadia has a tshuva about this. Rav Avadia was asked about this, and he quotes a tshuva from someone much earlier about who says that it's definitely a problem, but then Rav Avadia showed that the guy didn't know what a watch was, or in his country they wore watches around their biceps or something. Like, yeah, something like very strange. It's like one of those interesting Rav Avadia things. You know, he has in a footnote in Yechav Adas somewhere. All right. Okay, so defining makbid. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan just points out the obvious, which is all of these halachos apply equally to tefillas kelim also, not just for tefillah v'nida, meaning you're going to find these halachos by tefillah v'nida, kuf sadichas and yardeya, you're not going to find it in kuf chaf, in hilchos tefillas kelim, but it's the same halachos. That's why you're not going to, the Shulchan Aruch didn't, you know, he put it in the ikur makom, which is in by hilchos mikvaos, and by hilchos chatzitza, by the nida, so you could derive one place from the other. What about kelim that are made of different parts? Is one part going to be a chatzitza on the other, meaning where they're connected? Let's say you have a food processor, and it has metal blades that definitely require tevila, right? It cuts up food that is going to be edible, and it's, you know, it's kelim that are used in the hachana of the su'uda, so those metal blades do require tevila. But the way it works is the metal is connected. You can remove the blade, but when it's working, you put the metal in together with the plastic, and it holds it tight. And that's how they work in concert with each other, connected to each other. So if you put it in while it was still connected to the plastic, is that a chatzitza? Is the plastic going to be a chatzitza because it's not obviously hitting the parts of the metal that are attached to the plastic? Meaning very often what happens when you actually go to a keli mikvah to tovel one of these things, so whoever asked you to do the tevila just gave you a box, right? And you have to then figure out what to do with it. So some of the parts are still connected to each other in the box, some of the parts are separate, and you missed one. You put one in, you put a kli in the mikvah without separating it. So is that a chatzitza now? Is that going to be a problem? Do you need to separate every little piece? So there's a tshuva, the Minchas Yitzchak, where he has an interesting chilek, and I'm not sure if I understand it, but he says as follows. He says, "Beklisha kol prakav tzrichim tefila bevadai." If it's a kli that all of the component parts require tefila, then afshel chachila bevadai me'anachol na'adbil b'shlemusal. He says, then the din l'chachila is you should tovel the whole thing at once while it's connected, because that's the way it functions. So the whole thing should be toveled at once while it's connected. But if you're matbil in the prakim, if you're matbil it after taking it apart, that also works. That's okay also. However, he says, if it's a kli, and he says a pressure cooker. You know what a pressure cooker looks like?
Not sure. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it?
It's kind of like a bin, I think.
And it has parts that do require, parts that don't require it to be
hot with a cover and a latch.
Yeah.
To make sure it's tight.
Yes. Yeah,
thus pressure. Okay. So he says, she'ef shalahatil kulu ka'achas. When you have a kli that's a pressure cooker that you can't tovel all at the same time, then you could for sure, because all the parts are made out of metal, so you could for sure tovel it piece by piece, you could tovel it together, whichever way you want is fine. L'chachil, it should be all together, but if you have it piece by piece, it's okay. What about a food processor where parts of it are plastic and don't require tefillah? So he says, yesh lahatpil beis pa'amin. Every night we have a chumrah of the night, right? This is it. He says, you have to tovel it twice. Why? Echad kulo b'shlemusa. Once you tovel it, the whole thing connected. You take the food processor and just dip the whole thing in. I don't know if he means even. I don't think he means even the electric part because it comes off. Like the. Although the truth is, when it's not connected to the electric part, if it's got a hole at the bottom, and then it's not usable. So maybe he does mean even the electric part. And then bays, the second time you tovel it is evarim evarim. You tovel it piece by piece. Kulo b'shlemusa. Why do you do it all at one time? Dima din degama plastic tzar tvila, because he's choshesh minchas yitzchak l'shitaso that plastic might need tvila. So if the din is that plastic needs tvila, then you need to do it all at one time. But if plastic doesn't need tvila, then all it's going to be when it's connected to the metal parts is a chatzitza. Then it's going to be a problem of chatzitza. So he makes such a chilek that if all the different components require tvila, they're not going to be a chatzitza to each other when they're connected. But if some of the components require tefillah, some of them don't require tefillah, then the parts that don't require tefillah will be a chatzitza for the parts that don't require that do require tefillah. The obvious problem with this is why? What determines whether it's a chatzitza or not? If this is the way the kli functions, then why should it matter if the part that's blocking some of it also requires tefillah or doesn't also require tefillah? Manavshach, if you view it as one big kli, so you could tovel the whole thing together. Like any kli that's made of multiple parts that, let's say a kli that can't be taken apart. Right? And it has a metal, an ice cream scooper that has a metal scoop and a wooden handle. So it requires tevila. So you tovel it. Why don't we say the wooden handle is chatzitz on the metal? It's not, because it's one kli. So if you view a kli that could be taken apart, leprakim, it could be taken apart into different component parts, and what you really need to do is learn Maseches Kelim to really determine what the status is, but if you view it as one big kli, so then it shouldn't be chatzitz at all, regardless of what the other stuff is made out of, what parts of the kli are made out of. And if you don't view it as one big kli, so then it should be a chatzitza, regardless of what the other stuff is made out of, even if it's all made out of metal. And that's what Chalkas Binyamin points out, that he doesn't understand. Chalkas Binyamin in the Tziyum, in Os Tziyunim, in Os Shin Yud Beis, says he doesn't understand this Minchas Yitzchak, and he says he was happy to find that in the Sefer Tefilas Kelim, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that just tovel the whole thing at one time, while it's connected to each other, that definitely works, you don't have to worry about chatzitza. Now it would also work if you tovel it separately, probably, right? But he says, Al-Tzadi Yosef Tov, to tovel it all together, because that's how it functions as a kli. Most people probably don't do that. Most people just take apart different pieces and just tovel piece by piece. But that also definitely works. Okay, that's when it comes to food processors and things like that. let's get into certain particular chatzitza issues. Sometimes a kli, well, usually not with new kelim, but if you buy a kli used from a guy, so it will have black on the outside of the kli because it's been used before. So the Rama writes that the black on the outside of the kli, the Rama in Siman Resh Beis, writes that the black on the outside of a kli is not a problem. The Taz says, but if the black is on the inside of a kli, then mistama, you're makbid on it, and then it will be a problem. Black on the outside of a kli, mistama, you're not makbid on. But on the inside of a kli, mistama, you are makbid on. And the Gra says, ein lahakel, you shouldn't be makel on any black on any part of the kli. He doesn't think there's any room to be makel. There is one more halacha I should have mentioned. We kept on talking about Rov HaMakbid, Miur HaMakbid. There's another din called Kulo. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Ches discusses a tevila of a woman who's pregnant. Tevilas HaGer for a pregnant woman. She's becoming a Giyores. So does the tevila that the mother does while she's pregnant, does that Ola for the child? Does that work for the child? So the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Ches says, well, wait a second. Chatzitza she'eno makbid, you know, should be ola, should work midaraisa, right? And certainly the child is not makbid, and the child needs the mother there. He wants the mother to be all around him, right? It's very important for him at that stage. So certainly that shouldn't be chatzitza. But the Gemara says that's only if it's rov. If it's kulo, if it's a chatzitza on the entire thing, that's worse than rov, and that's going to be a chatzitza no matter what. Right, even makbid, no makbid, doesn't make a difference. If it's on kulo, it's going to be a problem. Right, that's what the Gemara says in Vav. So the Gemara says, so why does it work for the child? Hainu rabisei. The Gemara has such a lashon. Hainu rabisei. That's just the natural growth of the child. That's the way it's supposed to work. So it's not considered an interposition at all. It's not considered a chatzitza. So whatever, you need to study that Gemara well to figure out exactly what that means, what hainu rabisei means, and how to give a svara exactly for hainu rabisei. Now. The Achronim, I think it's the Shach or the Taz, says that if the Chatzitza is on Kol HaKli, not the Chatzitza, the blackened part, covers the entire Kli, so he says, then it's not going to be a problem. Because then it's not a discoloration. The whole Kli just turned a different color. So Chelkas Binyam just points out, even though normally Chatzitza Bekulo is more Chamer than Rubo, in that chatzitza bekulo, even if you're not makbid, is going to be chatzitza min haTorah. Over here, it's better because it becomes like part of the dofen hakli. It becomes part of the kli itself. Good, yeah.
And the black part is like when it gets rubbed out or something. The metal. Was it
yeah, when, no, when it gets exposed to coals and fire and just burns up part of the kli, so it gets.
It's just the color is changing.
It gets charred. Right. So
that's,
well.
That's,
so the charring of the kli.
Like external.
I guess that's part of the, like the rust. Right. Yeah.
Deterioration of like the metal.
Yeah. So that's what Rav Azna Sa'ara in Sefer Tefillas Kelim, he says Rav Azna pointed out that they must have been talking about not just when you put it on a gas stove and the fire blackens it. It's talking about when they put it on charcoal and that's how it got blackened. So nafkamina would be whether you can take it off or not, right? So Rav Azna thought that any sort of blackening for us would be a chatzitza for sure, because we'd always be makbid on even on the outside of the kli, because we're not used to that. We only get whatever we get from a gas stove.
Can you remove it at all, or is it possible?
So I assume the kind that he's talking about is if you tried really hard, you could remove it, because if not, then why would it be different than rust?
Right.
Right? And it should be something that not makbid. Okay. Stickers, obviously much more nogei lemaisa. So we discussed a little bit. What about, we discussed before, if a store buys a kli to sell, so there are some achronim that hold that since they're going to be selling it for the purpose of klei seuda, it's not like they bought the kli to be used for chatichas klafim, and therefore they want to say that even though they're using it to sell, it's not called klei schor, it's still called klei seuda, and they're allowed to tovel it. That even the store itself is allowed to tovel it. So let's say you have a store that's toveling, that relies on such a shita, and is toveling the kelim. Can they tovel it with the stickers? So the Sefer Tefillas Kelim says yes. Why? What's the svara? Why can the store tovel it with the stickers? Because for them, it's eino makbid. Aye, but we learned as long as anybody would be makbid. So you have to touch it up a little bit. Anybody in their situation. Right? Nobody in their situation when you're trying to sell things and you want to make it look new would be makbid about the stickers. Either but you're makbid that a daf could be there. Meaning, give you the parallel in Hilchos Nida. A woman has a filling in her tooth. Right? So is it a chatzitza? Well, she wants it there. She needs it there. Right? She's makbid that a daf could be there. I but other women don't want the filling in the whatever the fourth tooth on the bottom or whatever because they don't need it. They're perfectly happy. They wouldn't want a piece of cement in it. No, but anyone in that situation would want it there. So that you don't just go with Rova Olam. You know, you don't. It would be what Rova Olam would do in that particular situation.
Is that why can't we use that cooler for like the case of the candy store institution? Like,
because we don't pass it out. Yeah, I mean, if we did, yeah, it would be helpful, but we don't pass them that way. Yeah?
So when we say a cast, it would be like a film?
A cast is a major problem. It's a major problem because they can't get wet. So even just putting it in the water, I mean, forgetting the meat, when you don't put it in the water to begin with,
the tefillah
is no good, right? No matter what. Chatzitza, rov makbid is only once it's in the water. So. Cast.
If you had a waterproof cast, though, then we would say that
it's not so pashut. These kinds of things are not pashut because if you only want it there because of something unfortunate and it's not staying there forever, like a filling in the tooth is bottled to the tooth, you want it to stay there forever. Temporary filling? Not so pashut. Right? A temporary crown or something like that? Definitely not so pashut because those things fall off very easily. So something that you're really not mevatel to that area, it doesn't become part of your body, those things are not so pashut at all.
Like braces?
What?
Braces would be an issue.
Braces are not so pashut. Married women who need braces usually will do it when they're pregnant. That way they don't have to go to the mikvah for 9 months or more because, you know, nursing or whatever else, so they'll do it when they're pregnant. But braces are made because you don't want the braces there, you just don't want your teeth to be messed up. And you certainly don't want to leave the braces there forever. So yeah, it's a major issue, major discussion. Women know that when they get dental work, married Orthodox women know that when they get dental work, they got a cheshbon when they're going to be going to the mikveh and make sure that. And dentists often know from dentists very often are big bikim in these halachas. Rebbetzin Tapp was huge. She was tremendous. Rebbetzin, I mean, she still is. She's just on the West Coast, but you know, when we used her a lot in terms of. We being the rabbanim in the neighborhood, you know, sometimes you get a call. I got a call once, a woman, I'm at the mikvah, and I just remembered I had dental work done yesterday, and he put in a temporary this or that. I didn't even know what the things that she was describing exactly were. So I called Rebbe Zatap, she runs over to the mikvah, she either removes it or, can tell exactly what it is, and, you know, and then the woman's able to be tovelis. It's important to have female dentists for this purpose. I mean, it doesn't happen that often, once in a while. Okay, an issue we discussed a while ago, but we'll revisit now. If you have a kli that, you know, a lot of times when you have silver, so I know with the set of silver that my wife's uncle bought us for our wedding, it's an expensive set of silver, and if we ever, God forbid, lose a piece, so you can go on eBay and you could buy piece by piece, you could buy. But sometimes they're used, right? So we need to be kashered and toveled. You can kasher silver very easily, and you can tovel silver very easily. What do you do first? Do you kasher first or do you tovel first? Right? There are a lot of people that buy very nice silver pieces on eBay. So what do you do first? Kasher first or tovel first? So there are three shitos in the Rishonim. If you look in the photocopies in the back, right before Sefer Mayim Rabin, the photocopies from Sefer Tevilas Kelim, He shows off his Bekiyas a little bit. He quotes a paragraph full of marmakomos for each of the shitos, meaning the following Rishonim hold shita number one. And he gives you, so like till you get to the shita, it takes a while. But basically the three shitos are as follows. One opinion is that you need to do Hagala first, and it's even ma'akev b'diyeved if you didn't do Hagala first. The tefillah is not going to work so long as there's treifa tam in that kli. That's one shita. And he quotes an impressive number of sources that hold that way. Why? What's the svara? Because it's considered tovel v'sheretz biyadam. Just like if a person goes to the mikvah, a person has tumah, and they hold the sheretz in their hand while they go to the mikvah, it's not going to be, the tefillah is not going to, it's not going to be metaher them. So it's tovel the sheretz biyadav. So too when the kli goes to the mikvah and the kli still has treifus in it, still has nevelus and treifus in it, so it's tovel v'sheretz biyadav. And also based on the pasuk taviru ba'ish v'taher, first taviru ba'ish, which is what the, go back to our first year where we learned from that pasuk tevilas kelim. So if you hold that it's learned from the word v'taher, that's where we learned tevilah from. So first it's taviru ba'ish, then v'taher. First you do agala, then you do tefillah. So one shita is that it's even ma'akev b'diavet. That it must be that you do the kashering first and then the tefillah. Shita number two is that you can do the tefillah first. Even l'chachili you can do the tefillah first. What are you talking about? Tovel v'sheretz b'yado? Nothing to do with tovel v'sheretz b'yado. Haraya. What's the raya? This has nothing to do with tovel v'sheretz b'yado. Let's say you don't do hagala on the kli. You have a kli that has trefetam in it. And you want to drink a glass of cold water from that kli. Are you allowed to? Absolutely yes. Nothing wrong with it. Tam doesn't transfer with cold water. With cold. You can drink cold water, soda, oranges, whatever you want. Right? Tam doesn't transfer with cold. The kli is usable. Mitam hagala. But it's not usable. Mitam tevila. So let's say I buy this silver goblet or a kiddush cup. That was used by a non-Jew, and it has trefetam. It was used for clam juice, hot clam juice. I don't know how clam juice is normally drunk, but it was used for hot clam juice. So now it has trefetam in it. So I only want to use it for my cold kiddush wine. Is there any reason I need to do hagala? There's a minig Yisrael that people tend to do hagala on kiddush cups before Pesach. You don't really need to. Use it for cold kiddush wine. There's no time of. First of all, the wine's not chametz. Second of all, even if it were chametz, it's cold, right? But okay, we're actually chumer de Pesach. We're machmer about everything, but it doesn't really need it. But I do need to do tevila. So how can you call that tovel v'sheretz biyado? It's only tovel v'sheretz biyado if I would need to do the agala. You don't always even need to do the agala. Elamai hagala l'chud tevila l'chud. They accomplish different things. They go on different paths, and they have nothing to do with each other. So what you're trying to accomplish is tevila, you could do tevila without agala. What you're trying to accomplish is agala, you do agala without tevila. You're trying to accomplish both, you do both. Whichever one first doesn't make a difference. That's shita number two. I'm not attaching names, so you can look at the Kuf Chav Dal, Kuf Chav Hey over here. He gives the whole list of names. Third shita is that l'chadchila, you should do agala first. But if you did tevila first, it's okay also. Because, and that's based on, tovel v'sheretz biyado is not a svara. This third shita says it's not tovel v'sheretz biyado, but the pasuk mentions hagala before tevila. So since the pasuk mentions hagala before tevila, it's telling you that's the preferred seder advarim. But it was never shina lav hakasav la'akev. The pasuk never repeated it to tell me that it's ma'akev v'di'evet. So you only have that it's l'chadchila d'kadin. Those are the three possible svaras. If you look in Shulchan Aruch in source number 15. How does Shulchan Aruch paskin? So if you look in source number 15, Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Lokach mein kelim shenishtamish ben bechamin. You buy kelim from a non-Jew that has been used for the hot clam juice. Bein sheim shel mateches o shel eitz o shel even. Whether the kli is made out of, doesn't make a difference. Magilan v'achar kach matbilan. First you do agala, then tevila. Im heim shel mateches, if they're made out of metal, meaning obviously you don't do tevila if it's made out of eitz or even, because those don't need tevila. But if it's made out of metal, you would do hagala, then tevila, ve'imutarim, and that's going to make it okay. So clearly right away we know he's not passing like daya number, what was it, number two, right? Number two that said it doesn't make a difference, you can do whichever one you want first. He's not passing that way. Oh, but b'di'evet is im'akev, v'imitbilan, v'achar kach higilan mutarim, v'yesham shetzarach lachzor ladbilan. So he quotes both dayas. He says it's mutar b'di'evet, like shita number three. And then he says, yeshomrim, that no, it's makiv, but you have like shita number two. There is a double mervava, which has a really wild chiddush. I mean, truth is, it sounds very mistaver when you first hear it. The double mervava, which I didn't put on the sheet, I just quoted, just put the piskei tshuva that quotes the double mervava, says as follows: what if the kli that you bought from the guy hasn't been used in more than 24 hours? So now there is tam trapped in the walls of that kli, tam of clam juice, but it's a tam pogum of clam juice. it's already not good, it's already disgusting, and therefore it doesn't have the power to trafe up any of your food. So says the Dagon Ravava, you can't call that Tovel v'sheretz biyado, because once it's a tam pagum, it's kosher. The halacha is, Gmar Navod Zara, Samach Zayin, I think, Nevela she'in ru'il ger is ain't a kriy nevela. If you have a piece of chazer and it spoils and it becomes disgusting and it tastes terrible, it's not called chazer anymore. Now it's mutter. It's 100% kosher. Now if you eat it b'toras achila, so there's an achshavei problem, but it's totally mutter. If it gets mixed into your chicken soup, even though it's nosing tam to your chicken soup is kosher. Right? That's the halacha. So says the Dagon Ravava, this requirement that you have to be tovel, that you have to do hagala first and then be tovel, because you don't want to have a problem with tovel v'sharetz biyado, that whole requirement only makes sense if the tam that's in the kli is still a sharetz biyado, is still tam of treifas. But if it's already become a tam pagum, then it's no problem. He has to be wrong about this, right? Why does he have to be wrong about this? Because when the Shulchan Aruch and all the Rishonim discussed this issue, no one ever mentioned this. Okay, it's not a raya, except what do we assume about Stam Kelim? Are they B'nai Yoman or ain't B'nai Yoman? Stam Kelim, we assume, haven't been used in 24 hours. So all the Rishonim are going to write about this halacha and say, Tovel v'sharetz biyado, the Shulchan Aruch is going to quote it. And the average Kli, 90% of Kelim, we assume, are kelim that have not been used in 24 hours, and they're going to insist it's tovel v'sharetz biyado, you got to kashrut before you tovel it, and the whole thing, it doesn't apply. It doesn't apply in 90% of the cases, and the Shulchan Aruch just, oh, I forgot to tell you that. It can't be. Can't be that it doesn't apply in 90% of the cases, and the Shulchan Aruch didn't bother mentioning that. So he has to be wrong. Question is, why is he wrong? Right? Why could it still be tovel v'sharetz biyado if there's tam pagum in the kelim? So let's go back to Sunday's shiur. I think it was this past Sunday, maybe last week. Tam pagum. When you have tam pagum in the dofnei akli, what's the lumdus of tam pagum in the dofnei akli? Why is it that when you have a kli that hasn't been used in 24 hours, and then you cook kosher food in that kli, a kli that was used for hot clam juice yesterday, but more than 24 hours ago, now you cook kosher food in that kli, why is your food still kosher? Why don't we assume that the tam ruins it? So, because it's no sin tam of gam, that's why it's kosher. 2 days in Rishonim know exactly how that works. We saw it in Shuri Arab, he spells it out for us. Right? One shita in Rishonim, the shita of the Ra'ah, is that when the tam has been trapped in the walls of that kli for more than 24 hours, that tam is already disgusting, it's already pagum, it's already einaru yilager, and therefore it's already kosher. The shita's harashba, though, is no. It's not already disgusting. Haraya, when you cook chicken soup in that pot, you'll eat the chicken soup. It's delicious. So it's not gross. It's not disgusting. It doesn't ruin anything. It makes the chicken soup a little less delicious rather than more delicious because there was tam pagum in the... But it's not already so disgusting that it's einaru yilager. What's the vart, says the Rashba? No, it's still treif in there. It's still no good, that tam that's in there. But once that tam goes out into the food that you're cooking, when it goes into the food, it makes the food a little bit worse. The whole din of tam ke'ikr, that when you can sense the tam in the food, that it's problematic, that we consider it as if the tam is primary, as if the tam is something real, only applies when the tam is l'shvach. When the tam is lefgam, we're not going to apply the din of tam. Ki ikr mel, it's going to be batel barov. That's how the Rashba holds. So if you say the vart of the Rashba, if you learn it like the Rashba, the way of salvation explains it in Shiur HaRav, page Shin Tes Zayin, if you say like the Rashba, when the tam is stuck in the dofnei akli, is that kosher tam or non-kosher tam? If you say like the Rashba, it's non-kosher tam. Ah, tovel v'sharetz biyado. Even though it's Eino Ben Yomo, even though it's already been more than 24 hours, it's still called Tovel V'sharetz Biyado. That could be why the Dagon Ravava is wrong. Dagon Ravava is obviously authored by the Nodav Yehuda, and Cheskel Landau, those who don't know. Right? But it's a commentary inside of Yarden, inside of Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim also. Yeah?
So according to Rashba, what's the point of the 24 hours? If it's
Because, no, if it were less than 24 hours, then it's no same time l'shvach, and as long as you can detect the time in your chicken soup, the whole thing's going to be trade. If it's more than 24 hours, since it's no same time l'fgam, we don't say time ki'ikr. The fact that you can detect the time is not meaningful, and mel it's batel barov.
He's saying that after 24 hours, it's still considered treif.
Treif, but it's treif. It's not so disgusting that it's ainu ruya lager, but it definitely doesn't enhance the flavor of the food that you're cooking in the pot. Rather, it slightly dehances the flavor of the food that you're cooking in the pot.
Is there a certain time that, you know, after a long period of time?
So you got to go back to Sunday Shir. So it's online. There's a Chacham Tzvi, holds 12 months, then it's completely gone, but whatever. We don't necessarily hold like that. Okay. When you go to the Keli Mikveh, is there another question? No. Yeah.
Which one do you do first?
Lamaisa, you're supposed to do the Haggadah first. Right? Everyone, the Shulchan Aruch only quotes the deus that says you're supposed to do the Haggadah first. Question is it really ma'akim b'diavad? But Lamaisa, you should definitely do the Haggadah first. The bracha. So you go to the Keli Mikvah, there is a bracha to make. Shulchan Aruch paskins. If you're toveling one kli, you make bracha al tevilas kli. If you're toveling several kelim, it's al tevilas kelim. I'm not sure what you do if you're toveling one kli plus a safek kli. I assume it's al tevilas kelim. I assume that although it's not going to, the kelim that are a safek would themselves not warrant their own bracha, but when you're making a bracha for the other kelim, I would assume that that bracha goes on all the kelim that you're going to be tovel, even the ones misafek. It's not a bracha levatala. When it's not a bracha levatala, you're just being machmir misafek. I would think that the bracha can go on. You would say al tevilas kelim if you're toveling even only one fork, and everything else is safek tevila, safek non tevila. The problem is the Gemara never mentions this bracha. This bracha does not appear in Shas. The Gra, when he, in the Bira Gra, he gives the Mar Makamos for everything it says in Shulchan Aruch. So it says in Shulchan Aruch to make the bracha. The Bira Gra in source number 18 says, oh, where does this come from? The Tosefta in the last parak of bracha says, so you expect him to quote something about Al Tevilas Kelim, right? Ha'osek kolam mitzvos tzarech levarich. When you do mitzvos, you need to make a bracha. So there's a concept called Birchsa Mitzvah. So this is a Birchsa Mitzvah. Okay, so it doesn't appear in Shas. The Ritva has a strange line, source number 19, where he quotes the Rambam. The only thing is we don't know which Rambam he's quoting. He says, HaRambam Zal Sover de Tevila Zumid Rabbanan. Okay, that we already saw. V'gam Uzal Nirash Sover. And it also appears that the Rambam holds the Ein Mevarchan Aleha, that you don't make a bracha on Tevilas Kelim. And then the Ritva says, shocking words, V'chei Nagu. Yeah, that's our Minag. But the Tosos says you do make a bracha al tevilas kelim. Kasher ben arrives out to give him the hook shall need the tzarich lizar shall yehi ben davar chotzeitz. Fine, that's a chatzitza issue. But he quotes the Rambam that there's no bracha al tevilas kelim. Where did he get that idea from the Rambam? So it's true the Rambam doesn't mention the bracha, but neither does the Gemara. I mean, the Rambam doesn't mention the bracha directly. The fact that he doesn't mention it is not necessarily right. In the Sefer Tevilas Kelim, in source number 20, he points out that that the Rambam does in Hilchos Brachos mention a bracha on Tevila in general. He says, "Olsho tovel lo birech eino chozer mevarech." Right, that if you tovel without a bracha, you don't have to go ahead and make another bracha afterwards. Now, the Rambam happens to not be talking about Tevila of Kelim, he's talking about Tevila of people, right? But there is the Rambam definitely holds up a bracha on tefillah. Why should there be a bracha on tefillah of people, not a bracha on tefillah of kelim? Should be the same thing. And in Hilchos Mikvaos, he doesn't mention a bracha on any sort of tefillah. So what, you're going to say the Rambam was shosik in Hilchos Mikvaos, didn't say anything about a bracha, so no tefillah needs a bracha? We know that's not true. He says, beferish Hilchos Brachos, tefillah of people needs a bracha. So he doesn't really understand where the Ritva got this from. But he says, even more than that, the Ritva just says, like, flippantly, v'chein nahagu, that our minig is not that way, and he goes through in Sefer Tefilas Kelim, all the other Rishonim that lived in the basic vicinity and time period of the Ritva, who all say as a davar pasha that you do need a bracha. So how could the Ritva just say, yeah, v'chein agu, we don't make brachas on Tefilas Kelim? Every other Rishon, every other rabbi alive during his time in his neighborhood said you do make a bracha on Tefilas Kelim. So what do you mean v'chein agu? So he says, we're reading the Ritva wrong. He says what he's really dealing with is, what's the bracha? Is it al hatvila or is it al tefilas kelim? Meaning, forget about kli versus kelim. to even mention Kli, or is it just a general bracha on Tevila? Is it al Tevila or al Tevilas Kelim? So this is the Rambam's Shita that the Ritva's quoting, the Vechei Nag, was that you don't mention Kelim. That's what he's saying. That it's a general bracha of Alat Vila. That's the Vechei Nahagu. The Chalkas Binyamin thinks that the Ritva gets the idea from the Rambam's understanding of what the purpose of Tevilas Kelim is. That the purpose of Tevilas Kelim, the Rambam understands, in Hilchos Machal, Suras Perek Yizayin, Halacha Gimel, and Halacha Hey, that Inyan HaTevila Dami LaHagala Mina Iser. The Rambam associates Tevila and Hagala. Do you make a bracha on Hagala's Kelim?
No.
Definitely not. Why?
It's
not a mitzvah, right? If you have non-kosher candy in your house and you say, oh, it's not kosher, and you throw it in the garbage, you don't make a bracha on that. It's not a mitzvah. You're just avoiding doing an Iser. So the Rambam says, Hilchos Machal Sasuros, that Tevila is similar in function and purpose to Hagala. The Gama Tevila hi letar midei gilui Yaakov. Tevila is part of that process of Hagala. If it's only a matir like Hagala, so then you're not going to make a bracha. That's how the Chalkas Binyamin wants to understand that the Ritva is being medayik. But the Sefer Tevilas Kelim says, no, we're just totally misreading. We're just totally misreading the Ritva. Obviously, la halacha lemaisa, we do make a bracha. Now, we make a bracha on glass kelim also. A lot of people are under the misimpression that you don't make a bracha on glass. Glass, we know, is only chayv in tefillah midrabbanan. We make brachas on mitzvahs drabbanan. We make a bracha on the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, on the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. We make brachas on... The Gemara asked the Kasha, how could you make a bracha on the mitzvah drabbanan? And how can you say the words of Shekhar Yishonim, Mitzvahs of Itzivanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command us, drabbanan commanded us? So the Gemara says, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did command us, lo sasur. So it is tzivanu. But of course we make brachas on mitzvah drabbanan, so of course you make a bracha on tefillah of glass. The Chalkas Binyamin, though, raises the following issue. Since glass requires tefillah only midrabbanan, and metal requires tefillah midaraisa, maybe metal should go before glass. Should it get preference? If you have to be tefillah both, should you make the ikar bracha on that which is chayv midaraisa, and then make the metal go before the glass? Where is that? Chalkas Binyamin, source number 23. This is source number 23. Yesh ladun, you want to tovel both. Im yesh lahakdim esad balas hakli matchil shechiyuv mei Torah. So he quotes a prima gadim in Or Chaim that ein levarich lechadchila al talis katan liftar eshel gadol. If you're going to put on a talis later today, a real talis gadol, don't make a brach on the talis katan. Why? The talis katan drabanan. Talis katan is only chayiv in tzitzis mi drabanan, the gadol hudor raisa. You don't want your bracha the drabanan to pater your daraisa also. You want the ikar bracha and daraisa to val daraya, no? So by Tevilas Kelim also, if you have a drabanan and daraisa, let the ikar bracha be on the daraisa. But he says that the Sefer Cheker Halacha quotes the Prima Gadim and says that l'chora, the shita of Rabbi Nizrachi Alevi of the Balamar, is kol mitzvah sitzis v'zman hazeh is only drabanan. That nowadays we don't have tcheles, kalmut says drabanan. But he says, perhaps even l'shitaso, even according to the Baal Amar, that the mitzvah of tzitzis is entirely the bizman says drabanan, still you should make the bracha dafka and talis gadol. Why? Because there's a concept called trei drabanan. This is chad drabanan. The mitzvah of tzitzis is drabanan nowadays because we don't have tcheles, for those who don't have it. Right? Now, but it's also midrabanan, but on the talis katan it's midrabanan because it's talis katan, it's not talis gadol. So it's drabanan for both talis katan and talis gadol, but there are two reasons that it's drabanan and talis katan. There's only one reason why it's drabanan and talis gadol. So a trei drabanan can't be motzi chad drabanan. Where do we have that? A katan with mikra megillah. Tosfos Maseches Megillah says, can a katan lay in the megillah to be motzi a gadol? So if a katan is only chayiv midrabanan, and the gadol is also only chayiv midrabanan because it's mikra megillah is only mitzvah drabanan, can the katan be motzi the gadol? So Tosfos says no. Because there are two reasons why it's only the Rabbanan for the Katan. Number one, it's Mikra Megillah. Number two, he's a Katan. And all mitzvahs for him are only the Rabbanan. For the Gadol, it's only Chad Rabbanan. A trade Rabbanan can't be Motzi Chad Rabbanan. But, he says, it's a little far-fetched to apply that to allowing a bracha on one to pata the other. Meaning to apply trade Rabbanan and Chad Rabbanan to even allowing a bracha to apply from one to the other. He thinks that's a little bit far-fetched. Okay. But anyway, so that's an interesting discussion. I never saw anyone that's makbid on that. That Dafka makes the bracha on the metal kelim first, but maybe it's a nice chumrah. Might as well, if you have both, you might as well. You just don't want to cause any misunderstandings. Make sure, you know, make sure that that doesn't translate in your head some way that glass doesn't really need a bracha. That's very important. It does need a bracha. The person saying the bracha, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Hilchos Brachos, that whenever you're saying a bracha mitzvah and a cheftza, you make the bracha holding the cheftza in your right hand. Right? So you should hold the kli in your right hand as you make the bracha. You also should... You can't just have it in front of you because then it's not going to be over las yasa. It's going to be over da over. You should already be holding it, and so that right away you can start in the tvila. One second. Now, whether the mitzvah itself has to be done with the right hand is a discussion in the achronim. The bracha you have to have when you're holding in the right hand. The Sefer Tzvilas Kelim on page Kufayin Hay, Dibur Maskul Yesh Ladun, discusses whether the mitzvah itself has to be done with the right hand. But he says probably if you're making the bracha while you're holding in your right hand, so then you're going to have to do the mitzvah with the right hand because you just made the bracha and you want it to be over las yasa, you want it to be immediate. But what about the other kelim there? Can you grab another kli with your left hand? So Pasha says you definitely can and it definitely works. The issue is it preferred to do a mitzvah dafka with your right hand rather than your left hand? Yeah.
And the kelim would put that head like a crate that you put the kelim in?
Yeah.
Dip into water. So you don't make the bracha while it's in the right hand, or you make the bracha while it's in the crate?
No, before you dip it all the way in. Before you dip it in, you make the bracha.
While it's in the crate, right?
Yeah, yeah. While it's in the crate, it's already done. So you don't want to... Oh, meaning if you put it in the crate before you put before you drop the crate in, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can make it while it's in the crate then. You're holding the crate in your hands. Yeah, that's probably good enough. Now, when you make a bracha, and this is just Hilchos Brachos in general, it's not only about Tefillas Kelim. When you make a bracha, let's say, on where this really comes up is at the very beginning of your day in Hilchos Shechita. When you shecht chickens for a living, so you can shecht roughly 1,000 chickens in an hour. So you're going to be doing a lot of different mitzvahs, shechting 1,000 different chickens. Now, if I shecht a chicken now, and then I go and I have breakfast, and I come back to shecht another chicken, definitely a new bracha, right? But what if I'm just shechting one after the other? So I make one bracha. But the halacha is that if I make the bracha, and then before I do the first shechita, I'm mafsik, so I need to make a new bracha. I messed up. I need to make a new bracha, right? If I make the bracha, I shecht the first chicken, I'm not supposed to talk before I shecht the second chicken if I want my first bracha to count. I'm still supposed to keep quiet for the whole hour while I'm shechting 1,000 chickens, and that's what they do in the shechita places. Shecht them, stay quiet for an hour while they just continue to shecht one after the other, after the other, after the other. Now, if I talk in between chicken number 432 and chicken 433, so I don't need to make a new bracha, b'di'evet. Right? That's the halacha. So the same shuth tefillas kelim. The halacha is by Tfilas Kelim, once you make the bracha, before you tovel the first kli, you're not allowed to talk. If you've already toveled the first, and if you do talk before you tovel the first kli, you've got to make the bracha again. Once you've toveled the first kli, you're not allowed to talk until you're done with all of your kelim, obviously except for the tzarchei tevila, like pass that fork so I could tovel it, or get the sticker off, or whatever. If you do talk after that, La halacha we paskin begrudgingly, because it's really 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not going to have to make the bracha again. But it's really a major, major b'dieved. Because if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the way he quotes this, he quotes, Aval al kisui sheni lo yivarech, if something happens in between, you wouldn't make a second bracha. V'yeshomrim desicha ben shechita, I'm sorry, he first quotes the day that you do make another bracha, v'im diber tsarech, Levarich pama cheres ala shchita. You need to make another bracha on the shchita. V'yeshomrim desicha ben shchita v'shchita lo avi hefsik. And yeshomrim that it's not a hefsik. So the Taz says, okay, suffik brachas lahakel. It's not a hefsik. We're not going to make you make another bracha. But it's a stam against the yeshomrim. Really, the rules of Shulchan Aruch should tell us that you should have to make a new bracha. For whatever reason, we're knowing that we don't. But really, the rules should be that you should, because it's a stam in the yeshomrim. We always pass on like the stam. For whatever reason, the Taz thinks we don't make because the Sefer Brachos LaHakel overpowers the rule of Stam versus Yesh Omrim. But really, it's a major lechatchila that you shouldn't be talking in the middle of the Tevila. It's sometimes uncomfortable because you have 1,000 things and then someone else comes into the Keli Mikvah. So, you know, Kavra Brios, okay, so, you know, maybe you could just motion that. You know, I don't know, they probably won't even understand what you're doing because most people don't even know this, they don't even know this halacha. We do our best. The tefillah itself, I just want to make sure I get to the tefillah itself and do questions later. How to hold the kli. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that when you're holding the kelim, you should be careful. You have to hold it loosely, not too tightly. Because if it's too tight, the water is not going to get under your hands, and it's going to be a chatzitza. So if you're holding the kli and dipping it in, he says hold it loosely. However, the Ramah then says, wait a second. The Mechaber then says, but if you moistened your hand first, if you wet your hand first, then you can hold it tight, it's fine. The Ramah says, v'davka shalich lechiyadav b'mei mikvah. You have to have moistened your hands, but it has to have been with mikvah water. Can't be with other water in order for it to be a chibur. This is a major discussion. The Taz says, look, kvodu b'mekomu munach, the Ramah is a great rabbi, and he's a wonderful Talmud Chacham, lo duck klal b'hagazu. He was totally off base on this Ramah. The Taz says, and he goes and he shows why he thinks the Ramah is wrong. What difference does it make, says the Taz, if it was mikvah water or other water? Either way, if you drop a little bit of water into a kosher mikvah, it just becomes part of the mikvah. So when your hand is wet with other water and then you stick it in the mikvah, it's part of the mikvah. So that water, as long as it's connected to the mikvah water, is part of the mikvah. So it should be fine. Nevertheless, we paskin, you should wet it with mikvah water. And the reason is that the assumption is that you're right. If you drop water into the mikvah, it mixes with all the mikvah water. But if it's under your hand and it's toveling and you're just relying on some connection and you're really holding it tight, that may not be enough. It may have had to have originated as mikvah water to be okay. People sometimes misunderstand this Ramah, though. No say, Caleb, discuss this. What if I stick my hand in the mikvah? Now I take my hand out, pick up the kli, and put it back in. That's not mikvah water anymore. Once you stuck your hand in the mikvah and picked up your hand, took it out, some of the Nosei Kelim say, now it's detached from the mikvah. Now your hand is wet with non-mikvah water. So what do you have to do? Stick your hand in and take the kli with your other hand and put it in the hand that's already in the water. Then it's mikvah water that's trapped underneath your hand. So that's the ideal thing. Obviously, with the basket, it's fine. You just shake around the basket. The key is that water has to get all around the entire kli all at the same time. Right? It can't be piecemeal. It's not like Haggadah where you can do little by little. It has to come all at the same time. So if you look at that long Taz, he has the major discussion. The Gra disagrees with this whole thing. The Gra says you can even use Mayim Tlushim. It's no problem. You don't need to use Mikvah water. But L'Chadchila, we should be Makbid on this. What about who can do the Tefillah? Can a child do the Tefillah? Can a guy do the Tefillah? So Chumash Hadeshen was asked about a child, and he says, you can't believe him that he did the Tefillah, because Tefillah is Din D'Oraisa, and a child doesn't have Ne'amanus for a Din D'Oraisa. So if he says he did the Tefillah, he can't do it. But he can do it, meaning if you watch him, then he can do it. He has the koach to do the tefillah. It's just that he doesn't have the ne'amanus that he did the tefillah. If you look in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Tezvav, which is toward the end of the packets over here, in source number 40. So he says, Ein ma minin katan al tefillas kelim and sif yudalit avalim tavul fnei gadol havei tefillah. And in Siftas Vav, im hitvil kelim al yidei ovid kochavim al salem tefillah. A guy, the tefillah also works, avalein onem al tefillah, but he's also not believed on the tefillah. Who makes the bracha if a guy does the tefillah? So you make the bracha, it's your mitzvah. Right? But obviously that's not ideal, because in terms of Hilchos Brachos, it's not ideal. In terms of Hilchos Brachos, the person who's doing the mitzvah should be making the bracha. So normally, even if two people are doing a mitzvah, so let's say you have two guys in the Kelim Mikvah, they're both, or again, by the Kelim Mikvah, they're both being Tovel Kelim. They don't both have to make a bracha. One of them can make the bracha and be motzi the other one, right? And that could work, because they're both doing a tefillah, they're both relying on the bracha. You can't make a bracha and be motzi a guy doesn't make a bracha, he doesn't have a bracha. So it's only your bracha. So it's really less than ideal. But we do rely on it for caterers. The caterer is not going to pay a Jew, he has to pay 10 times as much to get a Jew to sit there doing it. So it's much easier for him to get a guy, and he'll just have the Jew watching. The Mashgiach will be watching as the guy is doing the tefillah on the thousands and thousands of kelim that he has to be tovel. Okay, it's been a wonderful summer. Thank you so much for coming every night.